Hello, everybody. We are back. My name is Jaime Landeros from the Cantina MX podcast. We are on episode 240. We have a lot of stuff to discuss. Jurgen Damm to Atlanta United. Carlos Vela opting out of the Orlando tournament. Copa por Mexico started. Chivas did some sketchy stuff, and we got a lot of stuff to talk about. And before I go any further, let me introduce my guest, my homie, Joel. How are we doing out there?
Hola, Jaime. I'm enjoying my day off. Need to catch up on the football, though.
It's
taking me by surprise, you know. But I'm glad Liga MX is starting up.
Absolutely. La Copa por Mexico officially started on Friday. And
wait, what is this, Jaime? What is this? Is that replacing the regular cup tournament?
Copa por Mexico is, I think it's just like a warm-up pre-season tournament, kind of just to get certain teams back into the playing field.
So if America wins it, will they claim it as a league title?
That is a question we must ask Ron. But I think that if they win it, they're going to definitely argue and pout until they get another star on their crest, for sure. But it's basically split up into two groups, and it's only in two cities. So OmniLife or Akron in Guadalajara is hosting one group, and then you got the Puma Stadium hosting the other group. And there's So there's two groups. There's eight teams total. Chivas, Tigres, Mazatlan, Atlas on one side, Cruz Azul, America, Toluca, and Pumas on the other side. So that's what happened on Friday.
Wait, are these games being televised?
Ah, so here's the thing. TUDN is the one that has been broadcasting these games. At least they did on Friday and then on Saturday. So it was Toluca. It was, America beat Toluca, and then Cruz Azul and Pumas. I think Cruz Azul beat Pumas. So the games were going nice and steady, and then all of a sudden, the lights went out because it was pouring rain. And then on Saturday, they were going to put the games on just regular Univision, and Chivas, at the last minute, pulled out. And they said the only way you can watch this game is on Chivas TV.
Wow, I wonder what happened there, you know?
Oh, man, it was insane, man. Like, I can't believe that they did that last minute. I know Univision is probably looking to get some revenge because they were announcing it leading up into the game. Like, you know, the day before they were announcing it on the commercial breaks, you know, Chivas versus Atlas. And then I want to say, while the other game was still going, that's when they said, hey, we're actually not, we don't have the rights to the game, and the only way you can watch it in the United States is if you have a subscription to Chivas TV.
What? Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't one of the last Chivas games, one of their last league games of the previous season, didn't it get shown on Univision or TUDN or one of those?
I want to say it was on YouTube for free or something.
I remember I got upset because I paid, and it's like, why are you know, it's like I felt cheated, man, and I had to cancel my subscription because the league ended and basically, they weren't going to show anything on that channel. But they were going to keep charging, and they didn't give me any incentives to stay.
Exactly, because what happened was Chivas, I think it was the month of March, they only had one game at home. So
yeah, one game of the main team, because
yeah,
you could watch the female and the under 17s. Yeah.
So it's like if you have a subscription to Chivas TV and you're, you know, what's the incentive of paying $7 for what would have been just one match in the month of February? So a lot of people canceled, and then they actually the last game at home before they canceled the season because of COVID, they decided to allow everybody to watch that game for free. And some of us had already gotten their month renewed for Chivas TV, and we're like, yo, what the hell, you know, like we
Because
paid, and it's
I
like,
had mine for automatic renew, and I had to. I just took that L, man. I was like, all right, whatever.
I just think it's really dirty that, all right, the people like you that got their stuff on auto renew, we got charged $6.99. We only had one game, and then the season got canceled. And I mean, that's not Chivas' fault, but if you're gonna do this Copa por México, and we haven't seen football in like 4 or 5, you know, 3 or 4 months, we're all excited for Chivas because they're the big draw. You should at least hook up the people that had your subscription to begin with and be like, hey, you know, we're gonna give you these games for free because you paid for the month of March and there was no football. And they just did a really, really bad job of just pulling out last minute, and it screwed over a lot of people, including me.
Yeah, and I thought the channel doesn't offer much. Like, I think they should have. I could see it working if it had more things. Like, so you know, there's the Chivas movie. So it's like maybe you could see it through there.
Oh yeah, I
And
forgot
then
about that.
they could have like outtakes or like deleted scenes or behind the scenes or with director's commentary, whatever. But just bonus stuff that you could see through there. They could do stuff where it's like Q&A and it's subscribers could submit questions and they pick some and you know they
Yeah.
have a player there doing just doing like an interview and just talking there. They could have like their news channel where they just give you weekly updates on the team and what's going on or you get to hear from Pelaya, stuff like that. But there's nothing of that, man. Just it's like there's nothing there for me to check it like
Yeah, I want some
every
like
other day.
behind the scenes Norma photos, or you know, something, you know what I mean? Like give me some of the give me something that's worth my money, man.
You
Like
and with your training.
yeah, you know.
But even that, like if they had training sessions, because I know people would watch because they copy them. If you have a team,
Yeah.
you'd be like, oh yeah, we could do this, we could do this. Or like even the scrimmages sometimes. Just to see that scrimmage. But just there's more stuff that they could do and then I just feel like they don't.
Yeah, so
It's just poorly made. I don't know if I'm going back to that, Jaime. You're gonna have to entice
I'm
me.
definitely not, and if I'm not mistaken, I believe the remaining games in this tournament, at least for Chivas, like the only way you're gonna be able to watch the Chivas games are through that subscription. So you're gonna have to get on Roja Directa and get a Pirata stream. 'Cause that's exactly what I did. I had my family over. We had barbecued. It was on 4th of July. You know, we were all excited about watching Chivas
Oh,
play,
nice.
and you know, we had it on through the N, and then nope. And then I w quickly just went on Google Roja Directa, found a stream on Azteca because Azteca in Me Mexico was still broadcasting the match. And to talk about the match a little bit, Chivas had an incredible first half with a really, really good first team, and then Tena took the opportunity in the second half to basically substitute the entire team. So like even the goalkeeper, Godinho got some minutes. Peralta, I mean, Gallo Vasquez. I mean, it was a completely different team, and it was a terrible second half. And I'm like, yo, if anybody paid for this stream, I feel I feel sorry for them. I'm like, this is embarrassing, man. Like, you took out
But
your.
it's preseason, man.
Yeah,
If I
it's
mean, if it's
preseason.
preseason and you have to give those guys some playing time, you know?
Yeah. And one of the most shocking things that we saw in that match was Chofis, or should I say, Chonquis Lopez, got subbed in. We were waiting for him, and this boy looked like he has just been, drinking cerveza the whole quarantine. Caguamas, man.
Micheladas. Didn't he get fined for partying during the break?
Oh, that's right. He got in
They
trouble.
caught him
Yeah.
somewhere. Just
Yeah,
man.
he got in trouble because everybody was taking this super serious, and then through social media they saw that he was partying at some, I don't know if it was like a birthday party or
His
something, and
yeah.
yeah.
He lacks discipline, and it's to another level that he lacks it, to the point that teams know to stay away from him, which is like it's one thing I've told a lot of the, trophy apologists. Like, there's a reason Chivas hasn't had any formal offers from anywhere to take him. There just hasn't been. Like, no team has, because there had there been, he would have probably wanted to leave. He would have probably have left as well, especially if they would have given him more money. But they're just not there, and things like this is why, because he's always been, gets caught up in the vida alegre.
He kind of reminds me of Marco Fabian.
Okay.
Marco Fabian, incredibly talented player, showed like moments of brilliance, but also known to be a real party guy. And then like the relationship with Chivas at one point just got so awkward that we loaned him out to like Cruz Azul, and it seemed like he was, he just needed a new change of scenery, and like the talent has always been there. And I feel like with Chofis, we go through this like these highs and these lows with him, and I think it would be a good opportunity to, loan him out and have him get like a new team where he's not the number 10, with all this pressure on him. Maybe he can go to another team and just have like kind of like Luis Macias went to León, and he had a great showing there, and then he can come back to Chivas. And then we can either sell him or, keep him or something. I don't know.
Yeah, what I remember of Fabian is that he had that great game against Barcelona. I think he scores a hat trick,
Oh yeah.
including a bicycle kick, a
It
chilena,
was a fr it was a friendly
and
in Chicago, and we
yeah.
era goliza, and Marco Fabián scored two of the most amazing goals ever.
And wasn't it Pep's? Was that Pep's Barca?
It was Pep Guardiola's Barcelona. It was no fluke,
Yeah.
man. It was the real deal, Holyfield.
And so this guy's thinking, he's on the radar now, and he thought he was gonna get all these offers from Europe, and he wanted to leave, and there wasn't any really good offers, and I think she was just didn't accept any, and I think that was one of the reasons where like relationships broke, and he ended up going to Cruz Azul, and but then what's his face brought him back, which was Nestor, but he told him, "I'll give you a contract, and now if you get an offer from abroad, we'll help you, help you make the move."
Yeah.
So he came back just because of that, and he had a pretty decent season. And he did go to Germany.
And currently Fabian is homeless. He doesn't have a team.
He's
He
oh,
he was
wait, I heard
over there
that.
Al Said and
Oh, that's done.
he was over there in was it Saudi Arabia? Xavi was the coach, and
Oh.
I think they decided not to extend his contract, so he's a free agent again.
He might go to China, I heard. I think I heard Martin saying he might
Maybe.
go to China.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Another guy nobody wants to touch.
It's crazy. Kind of switch up gears. A very big signing, another Liga MX player, has been recycled to the MLS. Jürgen Damm is going to join Atlanta United. Bam.
Yeah, well, they're going after some of these as many as they can, and it's something we've been talking since last year, maybe even longer, that they're gonna keep courting more and more, especially with MLS going into like 30 teams, and so they're gonna keep going after a lot of these bigger names, and I guess they're hearing good things because they're more willing now to make the move.
Hey man, one man's trash is another man's treasure. I think Jürgen Damm is
He was good
super.
wanted, man.
You know what Jürgen Damm reminds me of? I don't know if you've seen this movie, but it was The Mighty Ducks, and it was the Mexican cat Luis Mendoza. He was also the same actor in Benny from The Sandlot. This guy was lightning fast. He was just blazing on the ice, but he didn't know how to break. And he would always like run into the wall. That's what Jürgen Damm reminds me of. He's just super fast. He can go up and down the field like no one's business. But then when it comes to actually executing like a cross or just doing something with the play, he it's like a like Bambi in lights, man. He just doesn't know what to do. He shits the bed.
I like that he did his TikTok and he admitted that his crossing is just worthless. I don't know if you saw
That is the only redeeming quality of Jürgen Damm, is
it.
like he is such a good sport, and his TikTok is actually pretty funny, because the self deprecation depre was it deprecation is he's self-aware. He knows he sucks at crossing.
But you know, like the league here, the defending isn't as strong in MLS, so I think he might not need to cross, you know? He could probably just do the low cross or take shots from far. But I do think if he's a professional, he
Yeah,
should do good, man. Him and Pulido as well. A lot of these guys. The one that was struggling was Chicha. I don't know how he will do.
I think because of the defending in the MLS, I think that Jürgen Damm is going to find great success there, and he's going to a really good club. I think that he can probably help them win some silverware out there. I mean, the MLS doesn't know how to defend, so he's definitely going to be a nightmare for a lot of teams. And another Mexican, he's joining Pulido, he's joining Pizarro, he's joining Chicha and Carlitos Vela. And the now it's like the trend is like, well, if I'm not good enough to go to Europe, at least I'll get a fat contract in the MLS and have a little bit easier way of living.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not the whole good enough. It's just having the right agent or the right team come for you, because going abroad is not as difficult. I mean, you might not be in the top league or in the top teams, but you could definitely make your way there if you wanted, a lot of these players if they wanted to. But at the end of the day, you're not going to get as much money if they're in the Greek league or in the even Dutch or Portuguese league. They're not going to earn, that much money. Even when they go to like Spain, like if what was this guy's name?
But
Alanis.
Alanis, yeah.
And some of the other guys have gone even to like mid-table teams in La Liga. A lot of those guys even took pay cuts. I remember when Valencia, all those years ago when he was at Espanyol,
Espanol.
and he took a ma massive pay cut. Cuauhtémoc took pay cut at where was he at? Valladolid.
Valladolid,
And
yeah.
so yeah, so that's part of it too, man. It's why a lot of these guys, they won't just leave, because it's like you take a pay cut, and then it's like you're almost starting from scratch again.
Yeah, I will say that the Liga MX doesn't make it easier for players to go abroad, because they have that what was it, Pacto de Caballeros, and that's kind of like what happened.
Yeah,
That's kind of what
but you
happened to
know
Jürgen
what?
Damm, is like no team wanted him in Mexico, so they have this agreement that he the only way he can go anywhere else is abroad, or to the MLS. So that's they're not really making.
But you know what? I think that the Pacto gets like a bad rap. And they make it seem like they hold you down, and they won't. It's mainly there to protect the clubs from losing their investments, because if you see in South America, those guys got jacked, man. They're still getting like losing talent left and right, and so that was one of the things to protect. But if when you see the amount of players that have been leaving, they're not really getting blocked. That was just so that the players wouldn't like, for example, you're trying to negotiate a contract, and you'll use another team from that same league to like kind of bully,
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's like the player is always the one that gets like the least amount of rights. They don't really have much of a say in that transfer. Kind of like what happened to Pizarro when he got sold to Monterrey. He really haven't. It wasn't even really his choice. And you have players that have said time and time again, like, yeah, like let me look. I remember Omar Bravo. Like he literally had to become a free agent just to go abroad because Chivas were rejecting offers. They were
No, but
like.
I'm saying, but see, that's the thing. Just because an offer comes, you don't have, like, there has to be good for the club too. If you sign with a club, right? So you sign like a 4-year deal, and a club comes 2 years in and they want you almost for free. Why would you take it when you have 2 more years? I'd rather keep the player for 2 more years.
Yeah.
And then you have the player saying, "Well, I want to leave," and that's kind of what causes some of the. But if the player signed the contract, then you really can't say you're being forced to stay. That's the contract. That's the agreement.
Yeah, I
So
just.
I mean, with Fabian, I don't think he had to be free agent, because the guy, Nestor had, he gave him a contract where it said you could if the right, like if the right
Offer came
offer
through.
comes.
Yeah.
But and like Peláez did the same with Macías. He had to guarantee him
Yeah,
some type of
he had
contract.
to throw in that clause.
But even that guy was cool to be like, yeah, I still want the club to make some money off of it too.
Yeah. No, I get it. You gotta protect your team, and you gotta get something in return. I totally agree with that.
Yeah, no, I do think, 'cause I mean, I don't deny there was some stuff that happened where some players got punked and stuff like that. Like that, obviously things like that did happen, and so like the whole pacto ended up having just really negative. But if you're one, but I don't think it's as bad as it gets made out to be. Just seeing the number of players that have left, that have gone to Europe or that leave. Like I do think the teams are very willing to do it, and not like even when you see some of like what happened with Man, what's that kid? He went with Guardado in Betis. Forgetting his name.
What happened?
The one kid, I can't believe I'm forgetting his name. Lainez, yes, Lainez. And just the way he left, it was kind of messed up. Because, like the way the dad kind of got in the middle of it, the negotiations and all that.
It was between Betis and Ajax.
Yeah, no, I know, but...
And I know there's a little... At least me, I am curious to see what would have happened if he had gone to Ajax instead.
Yeah. But, I mean, for the club, I think they had to, like, bend their arm. I think America sort of lost in the transaction deal. But so I'm saying, like, if they didn't want to lose, they could have easily, like, you know, blocked it until his contract ran. But they were, you know, they didn't get in the way of that.
And so far, it's been a really, really inconsistent experience for him in Betis. You know, he has, again, Andres Guardado. He's kind of like looking over him. Andres Guardado is like the staple of the team. He plays almost every game. And it seemed like Betis were like willing to throw this kid into the mix, like when he first switched over, and they quickly saw that he was just too small. And
he does like the body strength.
I remember after like one of the first games that he had, because he was complaining to the refs about how aggressive the defense is, you know, pulling his shirt and, you know, not calling fouls. And the guy on Twitter like tweeted at him like, "Yeah, man, welcome to La Liga. It's not like Liga MX. Like, we're not gonna stop the game after every single like foul. Like, this is the big boys. You know, it's the big boy league."
I forgot which one of his first games back, and his dribble. I think they did. You know how they do the compute stat. His dribbling, man, was up there. He was like second only to Messi, man.
Oh yeah, there's no question about the skills that he possesses. But I definitely do think that he was a little bit unprepared, as most Mexican players are when they go abroad, because of the physicality. Our players are fucking scrawny and small, man. I mean, every now and then you got Néstor Araujo who has the build,
like,
but
spinacas, man.
But I mean, look at freaking Diego Reyes, man. That guy was a twig. Even Raul Jimenez, I think, when he switched to Atleti, like, you know, you got to bulk up, man. You gotta put some muscle on you. And that's just the truth of the matter. Is like, I think physically we're a little bit undeveloped.
It's, yeah, no, I remember years back, Pasarela, he had coached Monterrey. I don't remember if he coached America, but they were asking him about the Mexican player, and he said they need to eat more pasta, and and that's kind of what he would say, you know, they need to bulk up, and I remember he was getting attacked over that comment, but he wasn't saying it to hate, you know?
Yeah.
And I do think there is truth to that. We do get a bunch of like scrawny dudes heading over there. Reyes is the big, you know, we do the side-by-side photos. He's become more menacing now, man.
There's Luis in the comments saying that he suggests that Mexican players should go to Libertadores, like contender team, and then go to Europe. It says without EU passports, our players will never fetch a fair market value from Liga MX to Europe. I don't know about that. I don't think I've seen any Mexican player have to go to like South America first to then go to Europe. I think we can deal with Europe directly, especially now our relationship with Conmebol isn't that strong because we're not invited to Libertadores anymore. You know what I mean? So it's like,
yeah,
I can only think of like,
well, it's not invited is the, they don't want to, they just don't want to go. But he's right about the EU passport, like not having that,
Yeah.
makes it more difficult.
It definitely
So she's right
hurts,
about that
yeah.
part. And yeah, being Libertadores, you could get noticed. You could get noticed more often. Chicho had played Libertadores when Man U. I don't know if that's where they spotted him, but
Yeah, I'm sure it helped, but
yeah.
getting that kind of exposure for sure. I mean, when I think of Mexican players in South America, Luis Hernandez to Boca, and I don't think he did much there. And then Mario Mendes to
No,
Vélez.
well, that's the thing. You're not. It's gonna be hard to send a player to a team over there because that's their bread and butter, selling players. So unless they own you, unless they own your transfer fee, you're not. They're not gonna want to take you on loan or anything like that. And no club's gonna be like, okay, you could have X percentage of the transfer in case it does go. It's just it doesn't work like that. That's why like Luis Hernandez didn't get much playing time. He was still owned by Necaxa.
Oh, was he?
He was just
It was a loan?
yeah, he was just it was a loan. And
Oh.
if it was like I think Necaxa still belonged to Televisa at the time, and I think they were trying to get a TV deal with for the Argentine League, but I don't think they were gonna get they were trying to get in the market, so that was just sort of testing the waters, which they had tested them years earlier with Garcia Aspe going to River Plate.
Oh, I didn't
It's
know
more of the
that.
same. Yeah, they both went on loan and making way less money. And that's the
Yeah.
other thing. If Mexican players are taking massive pay cuts to go to Europe, not all of them, but the majority, how much more do you think they're gonna get more of a pay cut to go to South America,
Oh, I know. Yeah.
so it's almost for peanuts for them. Yeah, that's the thing about Mexico, it's very well paid. The only league that pays better in Americas is Brazilian league, and like to some of the players, not on average, but they do have some high wages. But I will say on average, it's one of the best leagues to be where you're gonna get some good money.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the Mexican
Yeah.
player is well paid. And that's always been an issue with going abroad and just the perceived value of our players. We value our players more than the rest of the market. So
Yeah.
where Chivas would be willing to pay, 17 for Pulido or 18 for Pizarro. That's only in Mexico. Outside of Mexico, those players are worth maybe 10, 12 at most. So it's just one of those things that complicates matters when it comes to negotiation and trying to go abroad.
Yeah, and imagine losing wages for a whole year. Like you get a massive pay cut for a whole year, and a lot of these players, their careers aren't very long. And so if you leave abroad and you're taking a pay cut and you go to a team and then you might not you're gonna get benched or whatever, that could also cost you a spot with the national team. So now you're making even less money with this. Just
Speaking
so
about,
it's
yeah.
very difficult for these guys to do those. We have to take these things into consideration why more players don't just leave. And just looking at South America, well, South America for them is just win for the majority of these guys because automatically that they make more money.
Speaking about short careers and not going to the national team, Carlitos Vela. This was something that was rumored last week. He said that Yeah, I don't know about if I'm gonna go to Orlando and play in this tournament. And as of today, it's official. Carlitos Vela has opted out. He's not going to return to the MLS. Well, they're doing this little tournament in Orlando. He says that he would love to be there, but right now my family's health is more important because my wife is pregnant.
Yeah, that's Vela though, man. And but the Cubs behind him, and that's I think that's a big reason he came over here. And I don't think it's they're gonna make a big deal about it.
I mean, I here's the thing. For us who have followed his career, from the beginning, this is no shocker. He's done this in the past with the national team. He's opted out of playing when we needed him the most. This is a completely different situation, obviously. This is not like an official, silverware title tournament. It's just one of those things where all the rest of the leagues in the world are starting to return, and they wanted to have this little tournament in Orlando.
Oh,
And
it's not? I thought that was gonna be there.
well, I don't actually I don't know if it's a if it's just like a mini tournament or if it's like the regular season.
That was gonna be their season, and they were just gonna do it tournament style.
Wow. If that's the case,
No, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
I know, I
you
think you're right.
can,
I
like.
think you're right because one of my good friends, he did like a pool and he, like one of those what do they call those things? The quinela, where everyone puts money in and then they have a team.
Yeah, Canela.
And he had he got LAFC and he was really excited. And I was telling him
Oh
like
yeah, they're favorites.
I was like, "Yeah, man, I mean, you have like the best player in the league, Like he was the MVP." And then he told me, "Hey man, like what's this thing about him not returning?" I'm like, "Yeah, dude. He says he's not gonna do it." And he's surprised, like, "How could he do this?" I'm like, "Dude, he did this at a World Cup, all right? Like he is not gonna be losing sleep over this Orlando tournament, bro. If he could turn down not going to a World Cup, he'll do it for a lot less in Orlando." And for me,
Yeah, well, he said it that it's not like his main passion, you know.
I think the thing that causes a lot of controversy or just the reason why this is so shocking is because the Americans have not seen this side of Vela. You know what I mean? They're all on the bandwagon for Carlos Vela. They love the way he plays. They love what he's doing to the MLS. They haven't seen this side of Vela that we know that he's a shady person and he doesn't really care about soccer. He doesn't. He said it time and time again. This is a job for him. He prefers the NBA. He wanted to be a professional NBA player. But it's just one of those things where I think the question for me is if Carlos Vela is going to use the excuse that his wife is pregnant and he doesn't want to put his family at risk, where does that leave Javier Hernandez? Because his wife's pregnant too.
Wait
And
again?
yeah, his wife's pregnant.
Oh,
So
man, she tends to put in work.
yeah, I think the
'Cause she
caption,
just had a kid, so,
yeah,
huh?
I legit think I want to say that his caption was like number two in the oven. I think that was like how they announced it.
Oh man, I missed that, Jaime. I missed that.
Yeah, I think it was on his story or something. I don't even know, but I just thought it was really funny. Oh, yeah, it says
That's Cheeky's would have told us. He follows that.
April 1st. Number two is in the oven, and it's a photo of him and his wife and his kid. And
But you know what? I think just going back to well, I think because the club's gonna treat him well, that when he does return, they're gonna continue getting the best out of him. And I don't think the media here is gonna bust his balls the way it would have happened in Mex. So I mean,
that is true. That is a
I
very,
think that's
yeah, that's a very good point,
a big reason. Yeah, when he plays, he's goes all out. You know, and I think if it does return, who knows, man? Who knows what's gonna happen?
Yeah,
Could
actually.
be wave 4 of COVID, and then it could be like, yeah, I'm playing. He could
Yeah.
just retire. He's like, yeah, I'm out.
Yeah, it's funny, man, 'cause I think that if you are an LAFC fan and you've been supporting him for the longest time, it's gonna hurt. It's gonna bother you a little bit again, and then it's gonna get even more controversial if, you know, Chicharito decides to participate in that tournament. Obviously, his situation is a little bit different because he has just joined LA Galaxy. He's trying to, you know, prove himself in the MLS, and he's probably eager to go play. But I mean, he's again in the same situation. So if Chicharito plays in this tournament and Vela doesn't, I wonder how
Yeah,
the
and I think Chicharito would have made announced something already as well.
only thing he's announced is that he's selling Pinche
Oh yeah, he did. Yeah, he just got that sweet contract. I don't think he could opt out. You don't get a massive promo deal and then you skip out of the tournament where you're gonna be promoting it.
Oh
Got
man.
that sweet Herbalife money, man.
That's pretty crazy. Going to Mexican players abroad, there was actually a photo that was shared because Raul Jimenez has 68 games in the Premier League. And
Oh, okay. I know where you're headed to. This one's
yeah,
good.
it should be on your I'll repost it, but the numbers are pretty impressive and pretty interesting to look at. So both Chicharito and Raul Jimenez, the first 68 games, Raul had 27 goals, Chicharito had 23, 14 assists for Raul, 4 for Chicha, but the amount of minutes, Raul had over 5,000 and Chicharito just under 3,000. So it kind of just goes to show how completely different these guys are to each other.
Yeah, and just how impressive Chicharito was. And he went straight, he went straight to EPL. He didn't have to go to the Dutch League or anywhere else, to test his mettle, to improve. He went straight from playing against the Chapas and the San Luises to scoring against Chelsea.
With his
I think
face, with his face.
Score. That's a good goal, man. But no, he that season he did like 20 goals in all tournaments. I mean, just goes to show, man. We have this concept that we know players are kind of just lacking or not complete, and it's like, but a lot of these guys show that you can. Same with Pardo when he went to
Stuttgart,
Stuttgart
yeah.
and they won. Yeah, so I mean, I know the media has pushed this narrative
Yeah.
and we devalue the league or make it seem like the players aren't good enough. It's just going abroad. There's just too many things that could go wrong, and it's not necessarily that you lack the skill. Sometimes you could just lack the
The
you know you
opportunities.
could just get it. Yeah, you could be in with the wrong coach, with the wrong tactic, the wrong teammates, or you something could happen, in your life where it's like sort of like with Nettie when his parents died, and yeah, and it just affected him where he just couldn't play anymore. Or some of these dudes get homesick. They don't know how to be alone. A lot of them never even been alone. So you see interviews
What was
of
it?
Juan Aquiquín when he went to Portugal, and he said he just felt homesick the whole time. He was miserable.
Salcido
The other
too.
dude, yeah. Yes, Salcido wanted to leave, but I think he stuck around. He ended up like meeting some Peruvian dude or getting cool with one of the players from PSV.
Probably
There's like a
Farfán or something.
Peruano. Yeah, and he said they just were hanging out, and then he was like, all right. And he ended up staying there, and then going to England. But yeah, a lot of these guys just like, so that's sometimes that's part of it. It's not always, oh, you suck. That's just, yeah, that's not, I mean, that could happen too, but most often than not is it's all these other little factors. I mean, because look at Jimenez when he went to Atletico. That just wasn't the right environment for him, and he could have very easily returned to Liga MX,
Oh, yeah.
and everyone would have said that he was not good enough to be in Europe. But he had a good agent. They took him to Portugal, and even in Portugal, he wasn't, he wasn't exactly a starter until he landed at Wolves. And he, dude, right coach, right teammates.
Yeah, right coach,
And this
right
dude just,
teammates.
he blew up. And that's sometimes, that's just the luck of the draw, man. If you could get lucky, and same with Chicha when he's at Man U, scores 20 goals. And then the coach comes in, forget his face. Chicharo se apaga, dude. He goes to Germany. He's under the one coach. He scores like 17. He returns to EPL, and then he gets that same coaching
He
too.
gets Diego Moyes, David.
Moyes, there you
Yeah.
go, man. That guy, man.
That guy's
That's
terrible.
some bad luck,
That
man.
is
You
some te yeah.
he
It's
must have been pissed, dude. Imagine
yeah.
you just land at West Ham, and then this dude again. Oh man.
Yeah, I mean there people are gonna argue about oh who was a better player and Chicharito's washed up now, but I mean the numbers don't lie. He had literally had half the amount of minutes. And he was able to do, almost the same amount of damage. But it just goes to show how completely different styles they are. I mean, Chicharito was considered a super sub. He would go in, 20, 30 minutes before the game's over, tired legs, and he was just in the box. All his goals in the Premier League were inside the box. So, I mean,
I found it, you know what, Rigo? I'm Rigo. I mean, Jaime. I found it funny how when he was on loan at Real Madrid and he scored a goal from outside the box.
I think his first goal was outside the box,
And they were saying that he learned it there. He
Oh.
learned it. Hey. And I was like, did you not see him with Chivas? He scored a lot of goals like that. And that's because, goes again with that whole mentality of sort of like your scrubs if you're in Liga MX.
Yeah. Some more action abroad. Chucky Lozano is starting to, I'm not saying he has completely, but he's starting to win over Gattuso a little bit.
Just a little fire in his ass.
He's getting a little bit more minutes. He scored the other day. And Gattuso says, he's fast. He just has to work on his legs or something of that nature. So, but there are rumors that Milan want him, so he might get sold at the end of the season. Who knows?
If I'm Chucky, I want out of Italy, man.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I don't see how going to Milan is going to change his problem. And the problem is that the Italian league is very defensive, and he doesn't really fit. Maybe it's the structure of the team. Gattuso likes to play very defensively. Because I mean, look at Ronaldo's having a grand time out there in Juve, but that's a completely different squad. I think,
Yeah, Drew is like at another level, man.
yeah.
They dominate that league so bad. You could put Paleta Esqueda there, man, and he'll be a goal machine.
Tata Martinez said that Jimenez should join Man United because ever since Lukaku left, they've been looking for a player of his caliber. So some more rumors, but also Juventus is
Didn't
another team that wants him.
Wait, Juventus wants
Raul.
Chucky?
Oh no, Raul
Oh,
Jimenez.
Jimenez.
Yeah.
Jimenez. Talking about Jimenez. I'm like, what? You? Yeah, I mean, yeah, he could go there and win a couple Serie A Scudettos. But yeah, I think ultimately what Juve wants is they want a Champions League, and that's their goal, man. I don't think they care so much about Serie A, man. They got so many to spare right now.
Yeah,
I think they've won like
they've won it like I feel like
five or over the, huh?
it's pretty ridiculous. I don't know how many. They probably won it for the last like if you were to tell me that Juve has won the league for the last 10 years, I would believe it 'cause it's just that's just how it feels like.
Yeah, they've just, well, because you know what? I don't know if the Italian economy crashed, but I know a lot of the a lot for the league, it just went broke. Like just all these teams, you can even buy them for cheap. I remember Parma folded, and like all this, Milan had to sell, like I think most, or I don't know, but a good portion of their stock. And now they have like a Chinese owner. And so yeah, there was all this stuff that happened. So the money's not there, because at one point all the top players would be in Serie A. That's just not the case no more. It's kind of sad.
I was looking up. So, since 2011, 2012, Juve has won the league every single season.
Told you, man.
So,
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
like, that's 8 seasons in a row, and they're probably on their way to their ninth. It's pretty ridiculous, man. It's like Bayern Munich. In the Bundesliga, they win it every year, and anytime there's a team that puts up a fight, they just buy their players. You know, it's like they have a monopoly on the league.
Yeah, I would say that's what kind of sucks about Bundesliga. Same with Serie A. I think that's what probably makes the EPL more exciting. It seems to be
Yeah,
at least more teams capable of winning it.
EPL has had, I mean, Liverpool just won it, Man City, Leicester City. I mean, it's like it's been all over the place, and it's in my opinion the most competitive league in the world. I think it's the most balanced. Because in La Liga, it's like Real Madrid, Barca, Atleti. You know, it's like they pretty much run things. But at least in the EPL, it's a little bit more balanced, and a lot of the teams have really, even the teams that get recently promoted, they get £100 million to spend, you know, to keep the teams afloat. So they have a pretty good thing going on over there in England. There was some more news. There is Chaco Jimenez is going to be coaching Cancun FC.
That's the new Mexican league.
Yeah, so are there I think they're doing like another league, right?
Yeah, they're not affiliated. Don't they also have Matosas? Didn't they also get Matosas for one of?
I have no idea, actually.
Yeah, I think they one of the teams got Matosas, and I think I heard Netflix might own a team.
Gustavo Matosas is coaching Atlético San Luis right now.
Wait, he's still coaching the team? Didn't he get fired?
Not according to. Oh, maybe he did.
What? There wasn't there like a scandal? He
Oh,
did
man.
something.
Actually, I think you're right.
Yeah, in October of last year.
Wow, Wikipedia, you need to update your shit. Oh,
Okay, he was charging for transfers or something.
Club Veracruzano del Fútbol. I guess he's gonna be
There you go.
the president.
Oh, he's just the president. He's not gonna be the coach.
Whatever the hell that means. Yeah, right now it's a shit show. You have like Atletico Morelia, right? They just came from the ashes of being sold to Mazatlán.
Well,
So.
goddamn, you're right. He's the president. I remember him tied. I thought it was his coach, but I guess if he had ties to player transfers, I guess it makes sense, bring him in there. helped him build a team.
How the mediocre have fallen. Yeah, right now it's a scramble in Mexico. I mean, you have a league, because Ascenso is a shit show, and they're not gonna be, even if you win the league, you're not gonna get promoted to Liga MX. So they're forming their own league independent from Ascenso, and I don't know how that's gonna work, but we'll see what happens. Right now, the thing in Mexico is not. It's been a shit show. There's also a rumor of Miguel Herrera to join the Real Betis coaching staff.
Wait, just the coaching staff, not to be the head coach?
No, see, that's how those headlines are misleading. Everybody thought, oh,
Yeah.
it's the coach. No, to be like an assistant. He's not going to be the main coach.
Or would it be like an assistant and then later on
Yeah.
he could take over the team?
Maybe something like that.
At what team, Betis?
Betis, yeah.
Man, Betis is just, I don't know, man. If you're Piojo, that's like,
Why would you do that?
going in as assistant. I mean, this guy at one time was approached by the Chilean national team, and
Was
I'm
he?
sure if he, yeah, he talked about it in an interview.
Oh wow. Was this after what was the game? What was that guy's name? The coach for Chile, Sao
I don't
Paulo.
know which one of
So
them.
what was the guy? I forgot his name, but I wonder when this was. All I know is it is kind of weird that we talk about players abroad all the time, but there's really no Mexican coaches abroad. I mean, you have Aguirre, he's the only one that's really ventured out there, but I can't really name too many coaches that we export abroad.
No.
And
And you know what? That's part of it, that there hasn't been that many players, because that would help too. Like players that retire and then they have some sort, because Aguirre played in Spain.
Yeah, he did.
So he had that connection. Not sure if it was with Osasuna, but he was over there. And so that's part of it, I think that's one of the other things that needs to happen. But I mean, there needs to be more than just 10 players at a time, because Mexico's had for like the past maybe 20 years, they've had like 10 or less players over there, and then a majority don't even become. They don't go into coaching. They'll go into like hosting TV shows. Because
Yeah.
like Marquez, if he wanted to, I bet he could get a team, he could get his chops over there.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Aguirre was I think he's been our most successful coach abroad. I think Hugo Sanchez at one point coached in
He
La Liga
coached
as
two
well.
teams, and
Yeah.
yeah, he coached two teams, and he did okay.
Yeah, he did.
Not sure why he didn't stay. I know that one team, he saved them from relegation, and then the next season they sold all his top players.
Oh, well, they did. That's what happens. I mean, that's exactly what happens.
Yeah, it was one of the smaller clubs. and needed to cash out.
Yeah. Another rumor that's pretty saucy is Tecatito, who's doing an amazing job over there in Porto. He was named the man of the match just over this weekend. He's been killing it, scoring goals, doing assists. And there's a rumor that Nuno Espirito Santo, the coach of Wolves, is asking for his services, so he might join Raul Jimenez over there at Wolverhampton, which would be pretty epic.
Yeah, and I could see the whole Portugal thing because there's dude, I'm forgetting his name. It's
Jorge Mendes.
there you go, super agent
Super,
Mendes,
super
and
Mendes.
that's Jimenez, and yeah, that's one agent you're gonna want to have. I bet if that was Ochoa's agent, Ochoa would have been,
Oh
he would
man.
have been in one of in a good league, you
Yeah.
know.
Yeah, Ochoa.
Unfortunately for him, and you know, it just goes back to what we were saying earlier about going abroad. He was just in some teams that just they weren't good for him. It's just bad luck on his part. Bad agent.
Yeah, I will say I've been watching Wolves like every weekend, and I love the partnership that Adama Traoré has with Raul Jimenez. In fact, I might even say that he has a better connection with him than any of our wingers, you know, because they play, they train every single day together, and
And
Adama, he sets him up for all these goals, man. It's incredible.
didn't he also have a good partnership with that Jota? What's the guy called?
Oh yeah, Jota.
Jota, am I saying it right?
Yeah.
Jota, or was he Portuguese?
Yeah, he's Portuguese.
Yeah, I thought that was his main dude, but now I'm hearing this other guy pop up, so I guess.
Yeah, Adama Traoré, he was from the school of Barcelona, and then he ended up at Wolves, and he's really good, man. He's got quite a physique. And he's been setting up Raul with, I want to say, like half their goals, honestly. Like it's pretty crazy. So it'd be fun to see
Yeah, we need to
Tecatito.
nationalize him. Bring him.
I know, right?
It's between. Yeah, we're not getting that Luka kid.
That Luca kid.
Yeah, he already has the Argy mullet.
Already got the haircut, man. There's no
There's
way.
no intentions there.
Unless maybe Piojo Herrera shows him his mullet from back in the day. Say, hey man, we'll embrace you as well.
He's like, we'll bring it back. We'll bring back the mullet.
There was another thing that happened with Higuera. I think he's joining the front office of Atlético Morelia.
Oh yes, he is. Yes, he is. But I think he seems to have some connections. We'll see how legit he is.
I think he started, like most execs at Chivas, really well. The fans approved some exciting signings, and then it always ends very bad.
Well, I mean, the money wasn't there. Now, I do think they overpaid, but they did win on that five trophy run, and he was part of it. Love him or hate him,
Do you think he was
he's gonna
part of
get credit for that.
you think he had something to do with Matias as well? Like him joining?
Well, indirectly, because he wasn't getting along with the De La Torres, and they weren't gonna let him call the shots, and so he got rid of them, and so they left, and then so the story is that, and this is from some dude, and I forget his name, but I had an interaction with him on Twitter, and so this guy worked with Chivas And supposedly Vergara told him, like, can you give me a list of coaches? It sounds just weird to me because it's like Chivas had, I think they hadn't made Liguilla in like a year or 2 years. And then under De La Torres, they had already reached semifinals. So now he's telling, so all of a sudden Vergara wants a new coach. It just kind of didn't make sense, but I think it was had to do with Higuera just not wanting them. And so this guy says that he went and did like a study of coaches available, and that Matias was like the one that he felt he had the style. And then that's also like I just don't buy it as much, because one of the things that is known is that Matias agent Hersey or Hirsi, he had gone to Mex. This was when Piojo, we're doing full circle, going back to Piojo. This was when Piojo got fired for he punched Martinoli, so he got sacked from the national team. And so this guy went to Mexico to try to get the selección for Mati. So he was there and he was trying to see if he could get the team. And he was trying to ride on the whole River Plate thing, but he was at Banfield, and they were just not never going to give it to him. He didn't have a championship. I mean, second division, but that's not something to write home about.
That's
He had
different.
the sixth, yeah. And so, kind of gets hired around the same time. So I don't know, man. Those are the two versions. That one guy from Chivas, and it's official. The one dude, because he said it before on Twitter, forgetting his name. Rigo knows him. I have to ask him. But yeah, I got to talk to him because we were having a discussion, and this dude said it. And I do think Higuera has said that he wasn't the one that hired Mati. But if he doesn't get rid of If he didn't get rid of Chepo, then this wouldn't have happened,
It's the
Mati wouldn't have came in.
butterfly effect.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I don't know, he's very active on Twitter and he responds to a lot of these haters and stuff, so
Is he still on Fútbol Picante?
I don't know
I thought he did
actually.
a good job, man. I saw him like once or twice, and I thought he was doing a pretty good job.
There's a rumor about Eugenio Pizzuto joining Lille over there in France. In fact, they said that it's that he will be signing and it's somewhat official. So he was awarded the bronze ball at the under 17 World Cup, so we'll see what happens.
Oh.
We really don't have too many players that go to France. Top of my head, I think of Rafa Márquez, Ochoa, and I think that's it. I can't think of any other player.
Just two.
But I will.
Yeah.
I think it's a great league for young players. I mean, they have a lot of young prospects that start their careers in France and have successful runs. And we really haven't had too many players over there, so. It'd be a that'd be some pretty big news. Yeah, right now it's just we're it's kind of an awkward position, you know, like we're trying to get back to normal. Teams are starting to, you know, come back into action. You know, we're in the month of July, so the transfer market window is open. And we still don't have a date for Liga MX to return, as far as like for the would it be Clausura? So we're all just kind of like going through this together, and as news starts to develop, we're out here just trying to share and discuss it with you guys. Yeah, is there anything else, whether that you had on your mind that we didn't discuss?
Well, let me see. No, I think Vela was one of the big news. Vela quitting again. And then the whole Chucky Gattuso drama. I think that's one to keep an eye out for. As far as for this preseason tourney, I don't think I don't know. I think they're just testing the waters. We'll see what happens. And then just something to keep an eye out for is World Cup qualifying.
Oh, yeah.
That's gonna sneak up pretty soon. And Martino's probably a little bit worried. Maybe not so, because I would say Mex is less affected than the regional rivals, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I would say like Costa Rica has not stopped playing. Like, I think they, even since this thing happened, like they haven't really shut down their league and stuff. But yeah, for the rest of Central America, it
Yeah,
definitely.
even the US with all the problems they're having, and their whole there's been a shakeup with the USSF and changing leadership and all that, and that could affect, and then there's like, I think for the first time ever or in a long time, you've seen the media attacking the head coach, or just you normally saw everyone being supportive, but now you see like a lot of people divided as far as
Who's their
I think
coach
it's
right now?
Berhalter,
Oh,
huh?
Berhalter? Oh, okay.
One of those guys, I
Greg.
don't
Yeah, I don't really keep up with
know.
him here.
Yeah, I mean, but it's interesting because when you start seeing a picture of how teams are going to be once qualifying starts.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy 'cause all these national teams, I mean, this is right now when there would be some, I think the Euro, Copa America, you know what I mean? This is like the time for national teams to get together and play. So this summer is definitely that hasn't happened. But the World Cup in 2022 will be in the winter time, so it seems like
Yeah.
that's gonna end
Well,
up
and
more.
that's the other thing we're not gonna see happen. I doubt it. You know how in the past you had, these top Euro teams come to the US and do these tournaments, These amistoso tournaments. And I don't think that's we're gonna see that. Or at least not this year.
Yeah, no partidos
High profile moleros.
moleros.
Yeah, Chivas versus Athletic might be a while since we see them play a high profile team.
Yeah, unfortunately. Chivas will be playing on Wednesday. They will face Tigres. That game will be at 7 p.m. Pacific time. And Cruz Azul versus Toluca will be on Wednesday as well. And then tomorrow there's going to be some action on the other bracket. It's going to be Mazatlan versus Atlas and Pumas America. So what do you got in those games?
As preseason, I don't put too much,
I'm waiting for.
especially when you see the coaches do, because you have to, try out the bench,
Yeah.
or maybe try out a different tactic, or give the reserva goalie some minutes, because once that tournament starts, you don't want to throw them in their cold feet, At least you have a good idea of what the player is capable of.
I'm curious to see if Mazatlan will officially score their first goal because they haven't scored yet. So
Would it be official,
I guess,
or it's just
I mean, it would still be like you know, their first goal ever because they're a new franchise, you know.
And that kind of sucks, you know, that usually, like, a new club, they, and especially with a nice stadium like theirs, they would have, like, an amistoso, you know.
Yeah, like a big...
For the inauguration, and I don't think they had that, and it's, you know, big reason because of... Wait, but they're not playing in their stadium, they're playing that.
No, they're playing...
I forgot, they're...
Yeah, they're all...
No, but they would still do it, they would still do it as an amistoso, you know.
Yeah.
They would still do it as an amistoso, and they would bring some team and do that, like, who was it that Monterrey brought? And inaugurated the stadium, was it like
Santos?
Porto or...
No, that was
No, it was Monterrey when they did their new stadium.
Yeah.
Rayados.
I know what you're talking about. I don't remember who they played.
I don't know if it was Porto. I think it was Porto.
Hold on. Oh, Benfica.
All right, there you go. That was close. That was close.
You know, it'd be funny if Mazatlán asked Morelia to play. Hey, you want to?
That would be savage. That would be damn.
So, hey, no hard feelings. No hard feelings. If you guys win, you guys can have the team back.
This is for the right to play in Liga MX.
They should just have They should have like the. Tryouts, like the fans should try out for the team, and you know, all right, this is gonna be our best 11.
Or if they really want to rub salt into the wound, they could just get some amateur team and call them Morelia and just whoop on them.
Yeah, I mean,
that's already making a mockery, but I mean, that's kind of like what they're doing on Twitter. They were putting some savage stuff. I don't know if they've done anything lately, but I know when their Twitter handle. When they started it, then whoever was running it was just talking smack.
Oh yeah, they don't care at all. They've actually just kind of embraced the bad boy role, and it's been pretty entertaining, you know, for neutral fans.
Hey, I wouldn't mind seeing that. Like, it was like a comedy thing, and then just have a dress up a team as Morelia and and then just do just dumb stuff, you know. I would watch that. It would be like the Globetrotters type of thing.
Oh, they have announced that they're going to name their stadium the Kraken.
Oh, that sounds pretty cool, actually.
Because actually, do they even have an official mascot? I don't think they do.
No.
Well,
I haven't seen one.
They're calling it the Kraken. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
it seems like they got a pretty good vision, pretty good image for their team. You know, they have like the purple skies, and that's why the team is purple. But yeah, it'll be curious to see how they perform, and see, you know, how much of an impact they make compared to Morelia, because Morelia was doing really really well. They were in Liga. They were get into the semis and stuff, so I would say the majority of the team is still the same. But yeah, that's pretty much all we have for you guys tonight. Obviously, we will be updating you on Twitter in between our next episode if there are some big news that drop. You know, we'll probably continue this Carlitos Vela novella. You know, and if there are anybody on the YouTube comments listening, if there's anything that you guys want us to talk about in the next episode, just leave us a comment down below. But yeah, I want to thank everybody for listening. Joel, thanks for joining us tonight.
Yeah, always a pleasure.
And hope everybody has a safe night.